Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Radio Islam International. You are listening to Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. So, Ramadan, we are at day 11 today and time is really, really flying by. So, inshallah, let's make dua that Allah grants us barakah in this time that we have so that we use it in a way that pleases Him, inshallah. Ameen. The first 10 days of Rahmah has now left us, and the second 10 days is the 10 days of forgiveness. Now, last week we spoke about Rahmah, and we spoke about where the word Rahmah originates from, and we spoke about how Allah sends His Rahmah to us and how to make the most of the first 10 days. Now, it's not to say that it's gone and it's not going to come back. It's just that the days are divided into three parts, and the second part is now to ask Allah for a lot of forgiveness. Now, Rahmah and mercy and forgiveness both correlate, because obviously for Allah to have Rahmah on us, it's for Allah to forgive us. So it's one and the same thing. But we have broken it down into two different segments so that we understand more what Allah's Rahmah entails and what Allah being Ghafoor entails. And together it is Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. So without any further ado, we will begin inshallah with the first name, which is Al-Ghafoor. And Ghafoor comes from the word Ghafara. The root word is Ghafara, which means to excuse or to conceal, to cover, to hide. This is where the word Ghafoor originates from. So we can see it's Allah hiding, concealing what you've done. So when we say Al-Ghafoor, then Allah is the most forgiving. And Ghafar is another word which also emanates from Ghafara. It's just a different verb that emanates from Ghafara. And this means for Allah to be repeatedly forgiving. So one is to be exceedingly forgiving and the other is to repeatedly forgive you over and over again. Subhanallah, this is a beautiful quality of Allah and a quality of Allah that we can invoke all the time because we forever need Allah's forgiveness. There's so much that we need Allah to forgive. So firstly, we need to understand who Allah is when Allah says He is Ghafoor, He is Rahim. Ghafoor means Allah forgives any sin. As we discussed last week, and we won't go so in-depth this week about it, but we did discuss how Allah forgives us in such a way that even if our sins are as much as the mountains, Allah will still forgive you. So Allah has given us this hope that there's no sin that's big or that's so big that Allah can't forgive. And if we always keep this at the back of our minds, we will always have hope in Allah, and we will always ask Allah for forgiveness. Because forgiveness, asking Allah for forgiveness, is not something everyone can do. And we did speak about that too, that it is a blessing in itself when you ask Allah for forgiveness, subhanAllah. So when you do ask Allah for forgiveness, know that this is coming from Allah. Allah wants you to turn towards Him and Allah wants you to ask forgiveness from Him. Now, if we look at the prophets and we start off with the first prophet, our father, Adam alayhi salam, and we know that we learn from the prophets every single lesson we have in the Sahaba, prophets of Islam, we learn all the different lessons and we take from them. And with Adam alayhi salam, through Allah's grace and mercy, Allah has given us this lesson to learn from Adam alayhi salam, our father, where Adam alayhi salam and Hawa ate from the tree which Allah forbid them to eat from. And we know that immediately when they did this, Allah removed their haya, because sin always takes away our haya. No matter what sin it is, it removes our haya and we become complacent, and it just layers and layers and layers. Eventually, you can't ask Allah for forgiveness. You don't find it in your heart because your heart is so concealed with all of these things that are mounting up. So With this, immediately Allah removed Haya, but look at the beauty of Adam alayhi salam, that immediately he turned and he repented to Allah, and Allah loved this repentance. And what was this dua? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we have oppressed, we have wronged ourselves. And if you are not going to forgive us, you are not going to have mercy, then we are definitely from the losers. This is a beautiful dua that we read over and over again. If only we understand what it means and where it originates from. This was our father Adam alayhi salam who taught us how to ask Allah. Allah, please forgive me, because if you don't forgive me, who or where will I turn to? And honestly, without Allah, if Allah is not there, where are we going to go? There's nowhere. There's absolutely no place that we can turn to. When we make Allah angry, where can we go? You know, if a child makes the parent angry or makes the mother angry, and the child will still be able to go to someone else, go to the father. Sometimes, you know, the fathers will say, come here, my baby. Nobody's going to do anything to you. You know, this is the way a child can turn. And in the dunya, we can turn to someone for a little while. But when it comes to disappointing Allah, where do you turn? Can you turn to your husband? Can you turn to your kids? No. There will be no happiness and no peace and no sakina anywhere besides with Allah. Subhanallah, this is how beautiful Allah is to us and how much we need Him right at the center of our lives. So when we disappoint Him, and when we upset Him, and when we get angry, when we lose hope, we know that, you know, Allah is still going to be there. He's not like insan. Insan will turn their backs on you. When we upset someone, they turn their backs on us. But Allah, Ghafoorur Rahim, is always there. And He will always forgive us. We can never, ever, ever lose hope. And another beautiful example is Musa alayhi salam. And you know, I love the story of Musa alayhi salam. I find that there's so many lessons in that one story alone that we can take in our entire lives. We can take, whether it's as kids, how to deal with our kids, how to deal with the in-laws, all of this in Musa alayhi salam's story. There's so many different lessons. And one of the lessons in the story of Musa alayhi salam is when he went, when he punched the Egyptian, and the Egyptian had died, right? If you know the story of Musa alayhi salam, there were two men that were arguing, and Musa alayhi salam went to separate them because one was hitting the other. And he hit the one. It said that he just picked up his hand and hit him, but because of the strength that Musa alayhi salam had, this man died. So immediately Musa alayhi salam felt this remorse. He knew what he did was wrong. And immediately he turned to Allah and he asked Allah for help and he asked Allah to forgive him. And then he left. And when he left the town and he reached this place, we know that he traveled and he didn't have any horses or camels or any such conveyance. All he had was his feet. And he ran away because Fir'aun's men were after him. So he couldn't even take any luxuries or food or anything. And he traveled for such a long distance because he didn't know how far the army would be behind him. So he ran and he ran until his shoes were worn out at the bottom. And then he ran and his feet were all cracked at the bottom and they were calloused until he reached the border and this little town. And he got there, he was so exhausted, he was extremely exhausted, and he sat under a tree. And then it just, you know, when after something happens that's huge, then the whole magnitude of what happens suddenly just starts absorbing. And that's what happened under this tree while he sat. And he's just absorbing this. And that is when he said to Allah, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, I'm desperate for whatever good you want to send to me. Send it. I'm desperate. Anything you have that's good, send it to me. I'm totally helpless. I'm in a place that, you know, I don't know anyone. I can only turn to you. So whatever goodness you have for me, give it to me. And this is a beautiful example. Why? Because after you've done something wrong and you ask Allah for forgiveness, this lesson is from the lesson of Musa alayhi salam. That when you ask Allah for forgiveness after that, how do you know that Allah has forgiven you or is forgiving you? How do you know this? It's by Allah placing opportunities in front of you to do good for others. So when you become desperate to do the next good thing, you know, I need to do something good. I need to do, you know, after you do something bad, you feel so you feel so bad in your heart that you want to conceal it with good. So you look for any opportunity. Someone asks you for a lift, you give them. Someone asks you for something, you do it for them. It's like you're not getting enough. You keep helping and helping and helping. It's an opportunity that you're asking Allah, and Allah gives you this because you are so desperate that you need this in your life. And Musa alayhi salam was so desperate that he said, Allah, give me anything. I'm so desperate that I'll take anything from you. And obviously we know that Allah gave him immediately. Allah sent him. What a beautiful blessing where he helped. Immediately he saw two women that were waiting at the well and to feed their sheep. And he watched and he wondered why they're not going forward. And they said because there were too many men in front of them. And Musa alayhi salam took their sheep and he helped them and he sent them on their way. And they got home to their father Shuaib alayhi salam. And they said, you know, this is what happened when we were feeding the animals. And immediately he said, go and fetch this man. And Musa alayhi salam had went back. And when he went back, Shuaib alayhi salam offered him a job and then offered him marriage to his daughter. So look at this one dua, how many doors opened just from this one dua. So we can take a lesson from this, is that when we ask Allah for forgiveness, we ask Allah that, and tell Allah that we're so desperate, any good thing, send it our way. Any opportunity to do good, send it our way and we'll do it. And we know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged us that whenever you do something evil or something wrong, follow it up with a good deed. So if you, maybe you were backbiting and after that you felt really bad because you knew that, you know, it was wrong, then follow it up immediately with a good deed. And that is when you ask Allah, Allah, send me opportunities to do good for you. So you take out sadaqah. That is from Allah. That is Allah's way of accepting your repentance. So you take out sadaqah, or you do something good for someone else, or you bake or cook for someone, but you do something to wipe away all of the evil that you did. And this is a recommendation from our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to follow it up. So this is so beautiful because you think, you know, when you do wrong, there's no way of making it right. And look how easy it is. Just follow up a bad deed with a good deed. Obviously, you have to be sincere in your repentance. We can't have that attitude also that, you know, oh, it's fine, I'll do it. Allah will forgive me. I'll ask Allah for forgiveness later. That is not sincere because you already have it in your mind that you're going to do the haram. And that's different. You are premeditating what you're doing. This then is where you do it and you are remorseful. You are sorry. You're not preempting it that, you know, I'm going to do this and then I'll ask Allah for forgiveness later. That's not how it works because we think we're fooling Allah, but we are only fooling ourselves. So for asking Allah for forgiveness, what we do is, We can ask Allah at any time. You know, there's no special time that only Allah is going to accept your maaf or your repentance. Obviously, there are recommended times that we guaranteed acceptance, like between Adhan and Iqama, the dua of the fasting person, all of these different things. So what we can do is, we can make dua at any time. Allah says, as long as you ask, I will answer. So it doesn't mean you have to wait to be sitting on your musalla. That's only when you can make dua or ask Allah for forgiveness. You can ask Him at any time and Allah is hearing and Allah is all hearing and all forgiving 24 hours a day. So we don't need to think of a specific time. Immediately when you think of something you did wrong, immediately ask Allah for forgiveness. And this guilt, you know, in psychology, guilt is a negative thing. So when you hear, when someone comes to you and says, you know, I'm feeling so guilty about what I did, it's a negative feeling. Psychologists are trained to say, you know, it's negative, you shouldn't be feeling guilty. You deserve this and you deserve to do that and whatever. But in Islam, guilt is a blessing. The fact that you are feeling guilt means that you have a conscience. And that is a blessing. If you commit evil deeds and you go to bed at night and feel nothing about it, and every day you continue in that lifestyle, you do things that are haram and you carry on, and it's normal. People may even be telling you, you know, it's wrong what you're doing. Don't do that. And it still doesn't affect you. Mind your own business. Don't judge me. Whatever. This is a blessing when you feel guilty. If you are not feeling guilt, then Allah has hardened your heart. And then we have to ask Allah to soften our hearts. Now, when you feel guilt, it's nafs lawama, where it's called the reproach in itself. Allah describes the three types of nafs in the Holy Quran, and one of them is nafs lawama. And inshallah, Allah let us all attain nafsul mutmainna, the contented soul. You know, where you are such, your heart, your soul is so content that you are in the best place, in the most peaceful place, and in the most rightful place. But we have a nafs that's called lawama, and it's the reproaching self. And you know, we need to have this guilt where when we do something, the nafs actually feels guilty. That, you know, something's not right. I don't feel right. And we have that. Sometimes you do a deed and you just don't feel right. You think, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Or I should never have done that. And this is a brilliant way of turning towards Allah. And then when you ask Allah for forgiveness, you should know that this is from Allah. It's a blessing. Allah is telling you, you know what, this is your blessing, so you can ask me for forgiveness. If we don't have that, then Allah hasn't blessed us. So inshallah, if we don't make dua, if we're the people that can't tolerate making dua, and it's so difficult for us, then ask Allah to soften your heart. Tell Allah, speak to Allah and say, Allah, my heart is so hard, please soften it so that I can turn to you. Grant me a nafs that feels when it's doing wrong. And it turns to you constantly over and over again. Never ever lose hope. Just keep asking Allah over and over again and Allah will forgive us. You know, there's always, always hope. Allah will forgive us, inshallah. And the dua to read for forgiveness is Astaghfirullahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. O Rabbi, ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwab ar-rahim. These are the duas we can read in the second days of forgiveness, second 10 days of Ramadan for forgiveness, inshallah. And Allah says, whoever fasted the month of Ramadan out of sincere faith, hoping for a reward from Allah, then all of his past sins will be forgiven. So inshallah, if we're fasting with sincerity and hoping that Allah is going to forgive us, then He will definitely forgive every single past sin of ours. Subhanallah, from one Ramadan to another. This is from Allah. From one Ramadan to another, all of it will get forgiven, inshallah. So, sticking with that theme, inshallah, we're going to continue after the break, but we're going to have the second segment, how do we forgive each other? We spoke about forgiving Allah forgiving us. And now we need to speak about how to have forgiveness amongst each other. We will be discussing it after the break. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to the program Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. So before the break, we were speaking about the forgiveness of Allah. How Allah has forgiveness for us, how to ask for forgiveness, and how forgiving Allah is to us. And we spoke about the prophets, Musa alayhi salam and Adam alayhi salam, and we spoke about how Adam alayhi salam asked Allah for forgiveness. Now, remember when Allah is so forgiving that even your past sins, if you had accepted Islam, for rebirths that had accepted Islam, Allah says everything before that is on a clean slate. Subhanallah, how beautiful is this? So Allah's mercy and forgiveness, we can't even describe it. It goes on and on and on. Now, We spoke about Allah's forgiveness, but what about forgiveness to each other? Now, I know how it sounds, you know, we say we should forgive everyone. It's a month of mercy. Let's forgive each other, and that's the only way that Allah is going to forgive us. So people tend to think, you know, it's easy to say forgive, but no one understands what I've been through. I've been abused over the years and over again, physically abused. Some people say that they were, you know, given by their parents to other family members to be brought up, and what they went through in that time was unforgivable, and it reaches a stage where it affects every part of your future life, where your marriage with your children, it always goes back to those reflections and to those moments that you have been abused, etc. And yes, it is difficult, and forgiveness would be different for each person. So whether it is something small, like someone told you that your dress didn't look good, or it was something big, like being abused, or not even that, some people inheritance, they were deprived of their inheritance, and they see that other people are spending their inheritance. And yes, it is difficult, and it's something that you can't forget, and you can't move on. But this is the whole point of forgiveness, is that you need to let go, because this person is renting a space in your head. Do you really want someone to rent or occupy space in your mind, in your heart, in your body? No, especially not a person that you feel is not worthy of it. So why keep them in your mind and in your heart? Let go. And yes, it is difficult, because it feels that if you're going to forgive them, you're validating what they did. You're validating their wrongdoings. That's what it feels like. But think about Allah, and think about how He overlooks what we do. Think about the worst things that you've done. And think about how Allah is expected to pardon you without speaking about it. In that very same way, we need to forgive others in the same way that Allah forgives us. In the very same way that, you know, pardon them. Let it go. Because at the end of it, it's going to occupy your mind, occupy your time. And you really don't need to do that. Someone told me something many years ago that I always remember. It's that if this negative emotion, if you don't like someone or they did something to you, picture it as a gift, right? It's a gift. And that person is giving you this gift in your hand. So that negativity is in this little box and they're giving it to you. Now it's your choice. You can either hold this box, accept it. And if you accept it, what's going to happen? You are going to be with the negative emotion. Because that person that you dislike gave it to you. That person is living their life happily, not thinking about you in any way. Now you sitting with this little gift, this box, and you holding it in your hand, and it's a burden. Because you are choosing to hold it, and you're choosing to think about this all the time and to replay it over and over again. So this box is going with you everywhere that you go. That person doesn't have a box. They're empty. But you have one. Now you can make the choice. Are you going to return the box to them, or are you going to keep it? And if you give back this box of negativity, you are free. And you know how you give it back? By being a happy person and by leaving the rest to Allah. And when you give the person back their negativity, they have to deal with it. How do you give back a person their negativity? You show them that you have moved on. You smile, you laugh, and this irritates people. They can't handle seeing that it's not affecting you. So you choose. Do you want to keep the negative emotion with you in the palm of your hand, or do you want to return it? This is a choice you're going to have to make. And by forgiving a person, you let go. Forgiving a person is not, you're not doing it for them. Don't think of it as you're doing it for that person. It's for yourself, because you deserve peace. Why must they occupy space in your head? You deserve peace. So forgiveness is not for them at all. It's for yourself. That's the beauty of forgiveness. It's a gift that you're giving yourself. Someone once said, we change the memory of our past into a hope for our future. So you can do that. For your future to be bright and have boundless limits, you need to change the memory of your past. And it's difficult to let go. But the first step in letting go is to forgive the person. Once you start actively forgiving the person, you stop thinking about it so much. You know, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, verily the hour is coming, so forgive with gracious forgiveness. Meaning that Qiyamah is coming sooner than we think. So let go of all the negativity. Allah is telling us it's coming so soon. Forget. Just forgive and forget. Don't think about anything. Just learn to let go. And who better to learn from than our beautiful, exemplary example, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, if there's any, there's so many moments that his forgiveness was so overwhelming that we can't even begin to imagine how a person can be so forgiving. But one of the highlights is when he forgave the man Washi, the man that killed his uncle Hamza, who was so beloved to him. And he forgave him with all of that. A murderer. Imagine looking at the man who murdered your uncle and then saying, it's fine, I forgive you. Another example is Yusuf alayhi salam. And last night, I know, you know, I was listening to the tafsir, to the recitation during Tarawih of Surah Yusuf. And it's such a beautiful surah, alhamdulillah. Also, so many lessons to learn from there. And one of the lessons of forgiveness is, Yusuf alayhi salam had 10 brothers. And all 10 were against him, right? Now, we think that our scenarios are so intense that we can't forgive. You know, oh, she did this and it's so bad. No one has been through what I've been through. But if we compare it to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, then we will realize that it's not difficult at all to forgive. He had forgiven and yet he was more wronged than any one of us could ever be. And Yusuf alayhi salam had 10 brothers, and all of these 10, obviously the 11th one was Benjamin, and he wasn't a part of it. So the 10 brothers, they conspired against Yusuf alayhi salam and they threw him in this well. Imagine doing this, and then out of this one action, the one action that they threw him into the well, he was enslaved. A person was free, became a slave. How do you forgive that? The fact that you had someone's beck and call, you've become a slave. They tore apart Yusuf alayhi salam from his father, right? Is that even forgivable? You ask yourself, had how many years he grew up into a man and he'd never seen his father from this little boy. How do you forgive that? He was homeless. And then from all of these things, then he was in prison. And all of this sits with you over the years. You pine for your father and you wonder, why did they leave me alone? Alone in a well, all the trauma that's going through you, right? And years go by, years, and Yusuf alayhi salam is now in the kingdom and his brothers come to him. And when they realize who he is, what does Yusuf alayhi salam say to them? Does he forgive them? Yes, he does. But what is the beautiful word in Quran that he says? No blame will there be upon you today. Allah will forgive you. Subhanallah, look at how no blame will there be upon you today. He never asked them, why did you do what you did? I mean, do you know what I went through? Nothing. All he did was he said to them that no blame is going to be upon them and that Allah is going to forgive them. Even with the father Yaqub, what did he say to them? Ask Allah for forgiveness. He said to his sons, ask Allah for forgiveness. That alone tells you that there's always hope in Allah. Sometimes as parents, if your children do something wrong, sometimes your children go on drugs or whatever it is that they did, there's no way that we can disown them because we are showing them that we have no hope in them. So how do you think they are going to have hope in Allah? We need to show them that, you know what, we will stand by you to change, but you ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah will change it. By disowning your child, you're telling that child that what you did is unforgivable. And then how is it that you expect Allah to forgive you? We always want mercy and we always want forgiveness from Allah. But we have to start amongst ourselves, and change starts with us. So start forgiving each other. And there are a few tips, alhamdulillah. Firstly, see the other side of the story. So if someone bullied you or if they did anything to you, try and see it from their side. Sometimes people do it in ignorance. They haven't done it purposely and we take things to heart. So let's try and look at it from a different perspective and see if that changes. The second thing is, ask yourself, what is the gift that that person has given you? When they did this, take a lesson from it and that will be your gift. Right? This is what you need to do, is you need to ask yourself, what's the good that I can take out of this? Yes, it's made me a stronger person. Maybe it's made you a wiser person. In future, you won't let your guard down so easily. But there's always lessons that you need to take from them, right? Basically, true forgiveness is when you can say thank you for the experience. That's true forgiveness. That's when you really forgive someone. Thank you for the experience. It's made me a wiser person, right? And you can't change what happens, but you can control how you react to a situation. If you're going to react negatively, then that is going to impact your life. So understand that you can also choose how you react to a situation, right? And remember that your pain will always be rewarded. This is the month of mercy. This is the month of forgiveness. Your pain is definitely going to be rewarded from Allah. So you sell your pain to Allah and He is going to buy it with a greater reward. Subhanallah. This is what Allah teaches us. This is what we should do. Always forgive. No matter what happens, no matter who did what, forgive. Remember the story of the man that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, he's going to enter Jannah. And Sahaba wanted to know, what is it that he did that was so great that he's going to Jannah? And one of the Sahaba decided to follow him. And when they followed him, they found out he was doing everything that was normal. He was going and herding his sheep, coming home, having his meal, sleeping, praying, just the normal general things that we would consider normal. And so the Sahaba couldn't understand why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam singled this person out. And the Sahaba approached this man and asked him, what is it that you do that's special? And he couldn't understand. He says, this is what I do. He says, but is there something I'm not seeing? So the man thought about it and then he said, yes, actually, I do one thing that maybe you didn't see. It's at night, before I go to sleep, I forgive every person that has wronged me. It's a habit. So look at this, alhamdulillah. Look at this, just because of the quality of forgiveness that this man had, Allah had granted him Jannah. Allah had already revealed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this person will be granted Jannah. And this is the reason. It was because he was forgiving. So if there's a lesson we can learn today, take one thing from this. If there's one thing we can take, it's that let's try and sleep every night with a clean heart. Every night let's go to sleep saying, Ya Allah, I sleep with a clean heart. I forgive everyone that has wronged me, whether they asked me for forgiveness or not. That's very important. Don't wait for the person to ask you for maaf. Forgive them anyway. And this is the type of relationship Allah will have with you. That when you do something, Allah will also forgive you because you have been forgiving to His slaves. Inshallah. Right? So let's erase all of our bad with good. Let's have self-control. And let's, in these second 10 days of forgiveness, let's read the dua, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim, and astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Allahumma ighfirli, ya Allah, please forgive us, please forgive every single one of us, and inshallah Allah forgive us our major sins, our minor sins. In this beautiful month, Allah grant us immense rahmah and immense forgiveness, inshallah. Until next week, Tuesday, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.